Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
What's up everyone? Ezra here at Moto 247. Got Dean on the phone here for episode 56 of the Moto 247 show. Round 3 of the Supercross season just got over with last night, and man, we have had some good racing so far. Not the best, but 3 rounds in, we got six different winners between the two classes, so some pretty good races, and AP's the point leader going into round 4, so, and we're close to East Coast, so Detroit's 2 weeks away. I'm still figuring out if I'm going to that, but man, we've had some good racing, and how were your fantasy picks last night? I didn't even check what I did. I know I had Jet for the win, even though it was gonna be a mutter. I felt like, you know, it's hard to go against having him up there, but yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what I had.
I did awful.
I don't think I even had AP in the top 5, which probably not a good idea with it being a mutter, but
I've got a total of 40 points after 3 races, and this is about the worst I feel like I've ever been doing in fantasy supercross ever.
And normally you're killing it. Even like I'm known for not submitting my picks, but even when I do, I really haven't had a great year. Like I feel like fantasy football, I do good. Fantasy supercross, I do not. And it's always like the whole, I guess the last couple of years with Eli Tomac and Chase Sexton, I was always picking the one that was not winning, and I'd pick Sexton and Tomac would win, and then, you know, vice versa. And this year, I'm just like, I think I'm just going to go with Jet every round, because I feel like right when I don't pick him, and I kind of hope I'm wrong, like, I don't know, I just really don't want him to win, but I'd rather pick him, and I guess if he doesn't win, I'm still happy in a way, but I actually kind of want to have a good fantasy season and I guess compete every weekend, so I'm curious to see where I stand. I'll pull that up here in a second before we get Joey on the phone. He's probably going to be in here in the next 10 minutes or so, but wanted to get started and talk about the racing, but yeah, it's pretty wild night. It was like, I was here at my house watching the racing, and I had like 2 kind of predictions. First one was Marchbanks. No, was it? Yeah, the first one was Marchbanks, yeah. And after that, the heat race, I'm like, okay, he's going to win the main here. And I was close, but I got that one wrong. But he still put in a really strong ride for second there. And then the second prediction was after Jet Lawrence freaking skimming the whoops the first lap in the heat race, I thought he was going to go down in the whoops. And thankfully, yeah, he did. And I think that, like, ever since then, like, kind of threw off his night. I didn't really watch too much of time qualifying or anything, but he came out swinging in that heat race. And after that, he just seemed to be off and not himself, but it was crazy. And then at the end of the race, him getting together with Anderson and just having a little feud about something. But yeah, I thought it was all right. I don't know. I wish it wasn't really a mutter. I wish it was dry. We could just see what, you know, everyone's A game, but it still is a pretty good racing. But man, we got some really, really good surprises in the 250 class. Shimoda is still not up there, and I don't think I could have predicted this going into, you know, round 4 now. And actually right now,
he's definitely, he's been making all the mistakes and everything like that, and really not meeting the expectations, I feel like, that, like, really anybody had for him. I feel like, you know, everybody it seems like was in agreement and had high expectations for him coming in the season, and he's not been delivering at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, too, like, I don't know, like, it felt like more of an open championship, where last year it was the Lawrence brothers on each coast dominating, and it felt like them than everyone else, right? And like Hunter was riding really well, and normally it was always Jet before, then Hunter was pretty good, like when he was racing with Craig a couple years ago, but last year it felt like both of them, it was just they're in a league of their own there. Then going into this year, it was kind of open to anyone. RJ is obviously really fast, and he's, I don't even know how old he is now, but showing he has the speed over the years, but, and then same with Smith, I guess, but yeah, I felt like it was going to open anyone, and Shimoda was looking really good, especially at the end of the SMX playoffs last year, and yeah, this is not really a great start for Honda, I guess, at all. Like, Jet's been only on the podium once, and first three rounds, and I know it's not going to be that way, you know, going into the, I guess the remaining, what, 14 rounds now. I'm probably not going to be off like that, kind of a freak thing with the mud races, but still, like, with that, then Hunter Lawrence not making a main, and even then, like, he hasn't, his results the last two races haven't been great by any means at all, but somehow he's, not Hunter, but Jet's still there in the championship, and they're really close, I mean, but, yeah, I feel like Honda, like, with Shimoda, he was, like, the favorite coming in, and he's so far down in the points where now he needs, like, a miracle. He just needs to go out and pretty much just, you know, crushing it every night and just hope for the worst for everyone else, which, I know, I really like Joe, and I was really hoping he could come out and be up there with RJ and Jordan, but, man, it's going to be interesting season for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, he had some big shoes to fill. I mean, it's kind of, in a sense, like, same old him, like, as far as making mistakes and not, you know, when people expect him to win, he doesn't, kind of thing, you know? So it's like, he said, maybe wait till the end of the season when everybody's kind of just, like, written him off, and then he'll knock out a couple last-minute wins that are just too little too late.
Yeah, I think right now, even if he, like, I guess it's still really early in the season, but it's like, now you better get his, you know, shit together and just hope for the best. But let's say we have the little East Coast break, but after that, it's like, it's too late unless something really bad happens and the guys up front get hurt or whatever. And even if they're inconsistent up front, I don't think he really has a chance, unfortunately.
I couldn't believe, I did not hear one thing said about Max Wollin this weekend, which was kind of sad, because, I mean, he was doing really well, and, I mean, like, speaking of, like, people getting injuries, you know, it sounds like he had a pretty bad one, and nobody's even making mention of it or sending, like, well wishes his way.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Like, I actually started doing a preview episode Friday and got a little bit recorded and just said, screw it, I really didn't have that much information besides Wollin getting hurt, and that's, it seems like it's a hip injury or a leg injury, if it's a femur or whatever it is. And, yeah, they didn't really say much on the broadcast at all. Like I was in here for a little bit messing around with some things during the 450 heat, the second heat, I believe it was. But besides that, I didn't really hear much at all. And he was coming in, and, heck, he was, yeah, one of the guys, like, he was, had to be up there with Kitchen and stuff. So, I don't know, I feel like, yeah, that is kind of sad. And I was really rooting for Max, and he's definitely had an interesting first couple of years in his pro career, especially with going, you know, pro so early. But, yeah, it just really sucks. It doesn't sound like it's anything good. So I guess no injury is good, right? But yeah, it sounds like he's going to be out for a while, which I don't know. I'm kind of I know everyone in the motocross industry and I guess sports in general are really secretive about injuries and stuff. But if it's like a broken femur or something, I feel like they would say something by now, but it doesn't sound like it's anything where he's out for a week or two. I think it is a season ending, at least Supercross. But yeah, who knows what it is. But yeah, it kind of sucks. Then Kitchen, I don't know, I was just kind of waiting for him to step up and you know, be up there. And I don't know, I feel like we're still going to see some more of him, though, coming up here. And I think the forecast is dry for A2, so that'll be really good. And another thing for A2 to be excited for is Jorge Prado staying another round. So
he is?
Yeah, he was going to go home today. And then I heard rumors last week of him wanting to stay for another round. And I heard last night, I think it was, or was it this morning or something, that he is officially staying and racing A2. So unless that report was wrong, which I'll go back and I'll check that out, but I think he is staying for another round, so I think that'd be cool, just in general, but I think especially since we had two mud races, I think it'll be cool to see what he has when it's dry, which I still know he's not going to be up there, but I think it's really cool for him, and it seems like he's addicted to it, and I can see him, you know, trying to come over here and next year, which I looked at the MXGP schedule, but I didn't really look too much at the dates, but I know, like, you know, how Hurlings came over a few years ago. I think it'd be really cool if Jorge Prado can come over, and I know he's really new to Supercross, but outdoors he's not, and the tracks are different over in Europe, but still, like, I think he can really kick ass in outdoors, and I think, because he said he's not going to come over here and settle for a 250 deal, you know, and I feel like if he can come over here and show that he's, you know, all right in Supercross, and especially since he's like brand new at it and just being around that top 10, and then let's say he does a round or two, if he can somehow fit it in the schedule and with between GPs, and I feel like if he can put in some really solid results, it can, you know, kind of be a big thing for if it's Gas or KTM, you know, any of the teams over here that he can possibly land on. So I don't know. I'm just really excited for that, though. And we talked about him a little bit last week, but yeah, it's kind of unfortunate though. Two out of the three rounds so far that he's been over here, it's been complete mutters. With obviously last night was looking a little bit better though, but yeah, we got I guess dive into the 250 class a little bit, and Joey should be on here any minute, but we'll just get going on that. And I guess pick up where we left off after he joins us. But yeah, another strong night for the Club MX team. Really unfortunate though for Phil being out. He's, you know, scored 0 points in two races out of the three, so that really sucks. And going back, I guess, to the whole 22nd gets no points, but still, even then, I guess it would only be 2 points plus the 18 he got in round two. But
did his bike break or something? Because, like, I felt like I saw him kind of up there, and then, yeah, like, they showed the end result of the race, and I was like, what the heck happened to him?
Yeah, I was wondering that, and I just saw he posted something not too long ago that he had transmission issues, and it skipped a gear, and then I think he rode around for a few more laps or something, then it just wasn't going anymore, so he just had a DNF. So really, I guess, freak stuff with two, you know, bike problems, two separate, you know, issues and two rounds, the first two out of three rounds. So it really sucks for him, but his teammate Marchbanks is up there and really happy for him. He's a really good dude, and got to meet him last year in Daytona and when he was hurt, and yeah, he's just a really good guy. So pumped to, you know, see him be up there, and especially after the whole deal with PC and everything, I feel like, and even, you know, Joey and I think all of us were talking about last week that he's capable of being up there, and yeah, just really pumped to see him up there in second. I really wish he didn't get tangled up with that lapper with it wasn't too long ago in that main event. I don't know if Thrasher would have got him. Maybe still would have got him, but I think that would have been a really good race going on the last couple minutes of that 250 main. But yeah, both those guys rode really good, and he's still right there at Marchbanks. That is still right there in the points, so it's really cool to see. Actually, I should get those pulled up. But what was your, I guess, biggest takeaway or biggest surprise or something from San Diego? I know it was a mud race, but still, I think it was, there's some takeaways from it that were, I guess, positive.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's just, like you said, kind of the inconsistency and the bad luck for everybody. It's been back and forth, it seems like, in both the 250 and the 450 class. Like, I know, thinking of the 250s, like, Bo Mayer seems like he had some bad luck, and, you know, I kind of have high expectations for him. And, like, I know it's the mud kind of throwing a wrench in it, but then, you know, the 450 class, like Chase and Kenny and Eli, you know, all of them, like, kind of back of the pack. And, like we already said, like, Joe Shimoda, too, like, you know, it's been so hot and cold. Like, you know, like, the 450 class right now, it's being led by a guy that's just had somewhat consistent rounds, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm pumped for AP, but it's like, is he going to stay up there? I'm more or less just looking for someone to hold Jet off, which Chase is up there ahead of Jet, but, and I'm pumped for AP, you know, getting that red plate, but it's like, is he really going to hold Jet off? And hopefully he can be up there. And even if he is up there consistently within the top five, top three, I think that'll be really cool to see out of him. But it is weird going into round four.
I'm holding my breath a lot for a Jet, just because, like, I feel like I feel like we're starting to see his, like, rookie mistakes and stuff, and, like, hearing, like, little whispers that he's, like, not like, in love with the Honda 450 for at least Supercross handling, and it seems like he is almost encountering those same issues that Chase was encountering with, like, maybe not being able to trust the front end, and then that combined with just, like, rookie mistakes, like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say it, but, like, I mean, you know, if he keeps, like, crashing and dang near, like, possibly gets hurt, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I feel like he really dodged a bullet with that that Preste crash. So, like, you know, like I said, like, the only person that's going to beat Jet this season is probably going to be himself kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like going into it, you know, everyone, I guess, had different opinions, but I just felt like he was the main threat, and we've seen what he can do outdoors, and we've seen, I guess he's even better outdoors, and then he wasn't a 250, but going into Supercross, I still felt like he was going to be really strong and kind of do what he did in outdoors, maybe not to that level, but be really strong, and yeah, it seems like so far, like in the heat race, he didn't really have to ride over his head, and I'm all for, you know, passing as many guys as you can and making those strike, you know, on those really not aggressive passes, but just going through like a kind of like an assassin and just picking people off. But there's like some, like the whoops, a lot of people weren't really skimming them. They're just jumping through them. And after I saw him the first lap, I'm like, holy shit, like hopefully if he continues to do this and every lap, he's going to really make up some time, but or I guess gain time on everyone at that point. But I'm like, he's going to crash. There's no way he's going to make it through doing that every lap. But, and he did. So, like, at what point does he just, I guess, tone it down a bit? And yeah, I know they didn't show him too much with Anderson. I just want to kind of know more of what was going on there because it was a little heated after the race. And Jed ended up coming out today and saying that he apologized for being immature and was willing to pay Anderson's fine. So I found that kind of funny, but.
Yeah, I looked into that, and like I don't, at least when I looked this morning, Anderson hadn't even been issued a fine or a fine, and like even if he did, like I feel like Jet should also get one because he kind of started the argument, you know, like he started escalating things. So, like I don't know, like, but like I said, when I checked this morning, it didn't seem like Anderson had even really received a fine.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything, and yeah, he pulled over and I don't know what was said, but yeah, Jet was the first one to grab Anderson's helmet, and obviously Anderson grabbed it back and yanked him down. Kind of dying laughing at that, but yeah, Jet started it, and I'm just kind of wanting to know, like, I'm on Anderson's side right now, but I have no idea what was really going on during the race. I don't know if it was just because they showed him a little bit, and he was holding Jet up, but, you know, who cares? I don't care who's being, like, if I'm in Anderson's position, if it was just that, I don't care who's behind me. I don't care if Jet has a 30-point lead and I'm fifth in points. If you're behind me, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep you behind me. And now, maybe if I'm coming off an injury and we're in the last couple rounds and there's a points battle going on between, let's say if it was Chase and Jet and I'm coming in off injury for my first round and I wouldn't want to get in anyone's way, but I think it's fair game, especially right now where we're at in the championship and where Anderson's expects to be up there and competing and getting some wins too. So if it was that, or I don't know if he was cross jumping Jet, which I'm just waiting for more footage. I thought I would see more footage on Instagram by now from just if it was the TV coverage of it or just videos from different people there, but I haven't seen much and haven't heard anything from the AMA about any fines. I've been, you know, following what they've been posting so far, so yeah, I guess kind of just waiting on that. But yeah, this season, like you said earlier, though, this has been really inconsistent for a lot of people. So, just more or less just surprised by that.
Yeah, like, I feel like Jet kind of thinks people should almost bow down to him. Like, I think he really is starting to get a big head and stuff. And so, I think as far as that, like, that's just my thought on it is that, like, you know, he was just mad. Like you said, Anderson was holding him up and riding a wide bike and, you know, and Jet just thinks people should pull over and let him by because, you know, he's whatever. He thinks he's so great. So I think that's probably whatever made him mad, and he's probably just throwing a little temper tantrum.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If it is that, like, I'm totally 100% on Anderson's side, and I kind of hope it's not that, but, like, I've been around people like that in different sports, but where it's, they're the golden child pretty much, and I don't know, I have that, I guess, attitude. It's like kind of the fuck you mentality. Like, I'm in this too, you know, just because I'm not the one that everyone's eyes on and everything. As long as Anderson wasn't, like, pulling a Vince Freeze, and I guess any race, Vince races, but, like, the WSX races where he was cross-jumping on everyone and trying to just yard sale every freaking moto there, if he wasn't doing that stuff, I'm completely fine if he's doing anything he can to hold up Jet. Like, they're both you know, competing for the same thing. So I'm just waiting for more footage or anything to come out from Anderson or Jet or whatever. But I think they're both being kind of quiet about it. And I've forgot what I was listening to, but it was just more of or I think it was the JTN, the post race show, like SMX posted on Instagram of him just saying he was in the Honda rig and Jet's dad, and then he talked to the Team Green or the Monster Cowie team manager and was saying they're just kind of both quiet about it and just wanting to look forward to the next round and move on from that. So like I said, I really don't think we're going to find out much more about that, but if it is that, I'm really rooting for everyone else to come up and not take no shit from Jet. You know, I like what Cooper did earlier on in the season at A1 and just, you know, shoving a wheel in there. And because I know a lot of guys in that, even established 450 guys that are coming in, and they're like, holy crap, like looking at what Jet can do and what he's done so far, especially last summer. So, yeah, I guess we'll see more. But I definitely, three rounds in, I thought he would, if not get all three wins, he would be right there in second. But it's kind of cool because he led so many laps. And I know they talked about it last year during the broadcast and just how many laps he's led. And it seemed like not only did he win every race, but it's like he almost led every freaking lap of every race. And this year so far, I could probably pull it up, but I don't know. He hasn't led that many laps besides, you know, that one win he got. So, but as far as Joey hasn't called in so far. A little bit behind schedule.
Yeah, like we'll see if Jet can stay healthy, because like going back to what I kind of said earlier, like Jet's, I feel like, the only person that can beat him, and like with like how confident he seems and kind of cocky and stuff, like it's kind of reminiscent to me of like 2017 Ken Roczen, like, you know, right before he had his like really catastrophic crash, you know. And that's where I'm like kind of holding my breath, like to see if Jet can stay consistent and start and get building momentum and just being steady and consistent, or, you know, if he's going to keep having little weird crashes. And, you know, like said, like when I saw that press day thing, I was like, oh man, this is it. Like, he's probably out for the season. And then when he just jammed his wrist, because he's just extremely lucky, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't watching that live. I saw it on Instagram. I'm like, oh geez, like, I want it to be a really good, I don't want Jet to win, but I don't want any injuries upon, you know, I don't wish that upon anyone. But I thought that was going to be if it wasn't a season ender, I thought it was going to be, you know, forcing the sit out for last night. But luckily it wasn't that bad. But yeah, going into this year, I'm like, are we going to see the mistakes? I know Chase was really going after last year of, you know, being that fastest qualifier. And now it's kind of like more or less just focus on the actual night show and doing that. And I know, like, Cooper Webb normally he isn't the best qualifier, but when the main event comes around, he's on his A game. And I'm just, I guess, waiting to see more or less if Jets is going to have a different strategy going into time qualifying and then the heat races, because we all know he can win, you know, any race he's in against anyone. But is he going to ride over his head to get that win in the heat race, or is he going to settle for second and play it smart and then go into the main event with a different, I guess, mindset? But yeah, I was kind of laughing at the TV, because he got a horrible start in his heat race. Like, he was just so behind everyone else, and he jumped. Did you see him jump in the inside there and like be top five within, like, he went from like dead last to top five in not even 5 seconds there.
Yeah, and then that crazy, like you said too, then the crazy sprint through the whoops, dude, make like even more passes. You're like, well, what the heck?
Yeah, like he got everyone there in the first corner, and I'm like, in that first section after the first corner, and I was like, oh my god, come on, no. And then he like picked people off in the whoops. I'm like, oh geez. And then I'm like, up. Oh, I think he's gonna fall though. But besides that, like, please, like, don't let him run away with this. But yeah, I don't know if we're gonna see those mistakes. And you know, everyone was talking about it. The guys in the broadcast talked about it over and over last year of him just riding so mature and not making those rookie mistakes. And he was, what, 19 last year, and yeah, was doing really good, and he wasn't making too many mistakes. And even when we do see guys that are really fast, they're crashing a lot normally. Going back to, like, the RC or I'm not comparing him to RC, but I just mean guys in general that are really hauling the mail, and normally they're crashing. We're Jets normally pretty good about that, but yeah, I guess we'll see if more or less if he does have issues with the bike, because I know last year, you know, that was the whole talk of last year of Chase in the front end, and everyone was going into this season be like, you know, it's the bike's not going to be the problem, or the bike's not the problem if Jet's on the same bike and winning, right? So yeah, I guess we'll see more of that, and yeah, I'm just more or less just excited for we're going into round four in Anaheim here, and the points are really close. We got AP up there. We were talking about him yesterday in the group chat of that your girlfriend Emma just hates that he puts on that that cowboy persona, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of was cracking me up.
Well, yeah, like I said, even like you brought up too, it's just so funny, like how he like seemed like kind of a flip of a switch. Like he went from dressing normal and kind of the normal motocrosser, like kind of skater, punk rock, like zoomies, or, you know, like that kind of style, like to then, yeah, like just full like cowboy, and then just the fact that he's like from Ohio, and they're not really known for being like a cowboy-y, you know, or like a farmer, horseback riding, mullet, cowboy hat, like, you know, that's not what Ohio is. You know, so it's just, yeah, it's a weird thing, like the whole leading up to it, you know. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah, it was cracking me up yesterday, because I don't think many people talk about that at all. You're like, yeah, your girlfriend's saying, yeah, I'm from Ohio, and people aren't like that here. And like, I remember him, he was racing with guys that, you know, local guys around here that were also going to Loretta's and putting in really good results. And yeah, he just seemed like a normal dude. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining or anything about it. AP, I absolutely love that dude, and he cracks me up every time he's on the podium. But it I guess did catch me off guard when now he has that mullet. He's like cowboy, you know.
Cowboy hat on the podium.
And cowboy hat, and he's this, yeah, everyone refers to him as a cowboy, which it, you know, going into like his rookie season, he wasn't, if you go back to, was it 2015 or whatever that was, when he was on Star Yamaha, that wasn't the case. And I don't know if it was, like I said yesterday in the group chat, I think it was right when he went to 450s, but maybe it was sometime around that. I don't know, but it's kind of funny. But anyways, yeah, he was cracking me up last night. I'm really pumped for him, but yeah, after that win, just he's screaming there, and he's definitely a fan favorite, and really excited for him to get that, though.
Yeah, I'm like, excited. Like, I mean, like, I do get it. It's like, to me, it just kind of makes it, to me, it just feels a little fake. Like, I'm not complaining. Like, I do like AP, but it is just seems like almost like just showmanship. Like, you know, it's like he found his niche and his, you know, and his thing to kind of market himself, which I'm all for, you know, but that's, to me, that's what it feels like, you know. It, I don't know if it's like 100% genuine or if it's just him acting in a way, you know. So, like, I don't want motocross to feel like wrestling.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think he actually talked about it a little bit. I forgot how long ago that was. I think it was like a couple months ago before the season. But I think he talked about how I don't know. I could be wrong, but I have to go back. I don't even know where the hell I saw this at. But, like, it was him just. People were. I don't know if it was after he grew out the mullet or where. And, where this happened, but or where when, but yeah, he's like, he just kind of ran with it. He's like, oh yeah, you guys refer to me as this, okay, I'll take it and run with it, and you know, give it 100%, and I guess
exactly. Yeah, well, it's even better because like his receding hairline with the mullet, man, it just looks so like gnarly.
Yeah, he is standing up there, and yeah. He was cracking me up, but pumped for him. And I'm just surprised, like, let's see where he's at right now. He's, what's it, 18? Yeah, so he's just been really consistent. Like, he's kind of been, I guess, like, quietly consistent this year. Just looking at the results right now. But I think Joey's just about ready. We'll find out. Once he is ready, we'll get the commercial break, guys. Real quick, then go over and have him on and talk about his U.S. Sprint Enduro that he did this past weekend, and talk a little bit more about the racing this weekend. But yeah, we're 2 weeks away from Detroit, and And it'd be cool to see him get redemption on that, though. I was there last week and, or last year, and I was just so heartbroken for him. I was wanting Chase to win, but and we were running to the bar last year, and I think I told this on the podcast. So like we're just about to the doors in Ford Field, and they have their little TVs there in the entryway, and we thought it was a done deal. So Joey and I are just about ready to just to sprint out there and run. There's like right next to, if you guys don't know, it's like Ford Field and Comerica Park where the Detroit Tigers play. Then there's like this bar. So we're ready just to sprint there and just beat the traffic of everyone. And we're like, oh yeah, it's a done deal. I'm like, okay, whatever, let's go. And just, I see in the small monitor, I hear the crowd go crazy. I turn back around as we're still running out of the stadium. And I just see this little orange dot on the screen. Cause we're so far away from this tiny TV. And man, it was just a heartbreaker. Seeing that, and I was really pumped for Chase, though. Really wanted him to get that championship, especially, I guess not especially, but it sucked to see him get it in the way he did. But at that point in the season, he was still really close with Tomac. But just trying to get him in right now. It'll be cool to see him get redemption. I'm still trying to make plans for Detroit. I know you guys got everything set and to go to Detroit 2 weeks away, and I have no plans for that. So.
I was curious too, like when we were on here tonight, to ask Joey if he had many plans yet. Like, it always seems like he might last minute be like, yeah, no, I'm flying up and got this and that, and I'll be there. You know, like I'm just waiting for him to do that like day before.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him. Yeah, I guess if he's coming up, I'll be like, okay, I'm going. I know my plans. Yeah, but exactly. If he's not going, I don't know. I might go by myself. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're still got another minute for Joey talking kind of about like AP and the cowboy thing. And I mean, it kind of fits in like how we always kind of talk about riders and their relationships and their girlfriends and stuff. I was poking around today on Instagram, just checking out the riders and their posts and stuff, and stumbled on Julian Beaumaire's page, and then saw his like girlfriend is apparently like a barrel racer girl. Nice. But I mean, if you go on her Instagram, you wouldn't know it besides the fact that it says it in the header, because now it's just like all like kind of skimpy, like modeling pictures and kind of thing. But you know, which fits in with a lot of the pro guys' girlfriends, I guess. But it's pretty funny. It kind of worth a look, I guess, as if you know, you would probably find it interesting.
Really? I didn't even know. Like I saw like little stories of, from like the KTM posts and stuff and whatnot throughout the races, and Chase does his little vlogs or the stuff I see on Instagram are just little short clips of him and like the trailer and stuff. So I saw Beaumaire and his girlfriend, like it, I think it was last weekend in San Fran, but yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. I didn't know that. I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, like it was funny, like a number of like, remember like it came up, like, I think it was like in a recommended post or something like online. It was like, follow me in my weekend at the race. And I'm like, who is this like chick? And I was like, her putting her makeup on, like all like nothing dirt bike related, just then, but then it just shows her in like the pro pits. I'm like, who is this? And then I like click on it, and I'm like, what? And then I'm like, wait, that's Julian. Like, then there's Julian. I'm like, wait, what? And so then it like just sent me down the wormhole. I'm like, who the heck is this? And like, you know, just all that crap. And then she's like, barrel racing. And I'm like, where? Like, I like think I was laughing. I was showing him. I'm like, she hasn't made like a post of her barrel racing in like 2 years. Huh. Now it's just like all like modeling crap and, you know, just like very kind of basic, you know, whatever, just, you know,
every other factory guy's girlfriend pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much as any girl is just seeking attention on, you know, social media anymore. You're like, oh, this is,
yeah, yeah.
just like all those posts that you're really good about finding them, like the herd of girls all dressed the same, you know, like it just felt like that.
Yeah, sometimes I go around and waste time on Instagram, like, because I don't know, I like every athlete, you know, want to figure out who they are and everything. And then you, like, I know, like, you really don't have to go far with the Craigs. Like, they post everything, so you know exactly who they are and stuff. But, like, the guy's like, oh, what's this girlfriend about or whatever. And, like, with Dean Wilson, I guess, like, you know how silly he is and funny he is. So it's, you know, kind of cool to look for his posts and his vlogs and stuff and see, like, what he's like outside of the race and outside of the stadiums and tracks and stuff. And it's always interesting stuff, but there's some people who are like, oh, I know they're, you know, dating whoever and want to see who they're like. And McAdoo's girlfriend, same with that. Like, you know exactly what she's doing. She's, I guess, posting some modeling thing or doing advertising for some whatever, I don't know, clothing stuff. But yeah, that's interesting there. I didn't even know that. But one thing I know that Chase Sexton's new girlfriend, like, he's been, got to give props to the Sexton. He's been getting some real freaking hot girl. I've got so much crap for saying that. Probably no girls at all listen to this podcast, but I got so much crap for calling girls hot, which I get it. Like, I want to get your opinion on this. Like, there's a time and place. Like, you don't go up to a girl and say that you're hot. But, like, because I just was talking and say, oh, yeah, that girl's hot. I think that's a compliment. Like, obviously, you just can't be like some asshole guy, though, and say that and then just be some complete dick to a girl. I get that. But I think it's a compliment. If a girl said I was hot, I would be, well, I probably wouldn't believe them. But if I did, I would be flattered. But I've got so much shit for that. And, yeah, I guess that's nothing to do with Moto. But I just, Joey's texting me. He's about ready to get on. But finish up this. Yeah, I think it's a compliment. Like, if a girl went up to you and said you're, well, I guess not went up to you, but, like, let's say you have a girlfriend, but let's say you didn't have a girlfriend. And some girl said you're hot. Like, would you be offended by that? I guess it works different for guys, though.
Yeah, like, I don't think so. But, I mean, two of the, it all is like, you know, it's like I really think too is like with anything, the way, you know, you can say anything and it's just the way you say stuff, it can come across, you know, it's just like all about that phrasing and the emotion you put into it. And like, you know, and like, so in like that context, it's like trying to say it to somebody without sounding like douchey or, you know, whatever, and just actually being genuine and like really saying it, you know, in a like a kind-hearted way, you know.
Yeah, that's what that's where I'm at. Like, if you come across as a douchebag, it's different, which I guess you gotta maneuver around that. But if you're a douchebag, you're always gonna come across as a douchebag, though. If you're a genuinely good guy, I don't think you will.
Cause like the main with like, you know, like, yeah, like obviously now, and like you said, it seems like it's so easy nowadays to offend females and blah, blah, blah. But like, I always think of it in like the context in like the workplace. And like for me, and like, I think you would know too, in like almost like workplace conflict. So it's like, cause that's where I've run into it the most is like, if somebody's just pissing you off at work and you want to basically tell them to go like kick rocks. But like, if you can say it to them in like a kind way and almost feel like you're, like I think Emma says it when she talks about like in like school and teaching is like a bullshit sandwich. So it's like, you just like, you gotta like, you know, wrap up like the freaking point you're trying to get across without, you know, and like how you want to kind of yell at somebody, but you just wrap it up nicely and then give it to them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like, yeah.
So it's like that kind of, so yeah. Like if you're, again, if you're going to like call a girl hot, like, you know, like just like, you almost got to like, wrap it in flowers and give it to them, that, you know what I mean, like, you know, to try and sound kind and genuine and whatever. Well, like I said, not just like the caveman, like, oh hi, like,
well, yeah, I'm like, I don't know how you like, I don't know how the hell you would word it if you go up to them and say they're hot, but I just mean like talking about someone, like,
oh,
I guess like if I'm talking to you or some, which,
yeah, we're
it's guys, yeah, talking, like, so it's different,
right? Like, and that's like a whole other thing. Like you just like call it, like, it's like I was talking about like Julian Bomer's thing where she's like literally like posting pictures of her basically wearing nothing.
Oh, that, but, yeah, don't even get me started.
And then we're the pieces of crap for talking about the way she looks when she's posting stuff like that. And it's like, well, what did you want us to say? Like, wow, that background is really, you know, that was some really beautiful scenery. That, you know, that your naked body staying in front of, like,
I just saw a post yesterday on Instagram, and it was like this guy, it was this reel, and there's like, for instance, there's like a bunch of stories this girl has posted, and he's like, yeah, liking the one of like the, oh, I forgot what a freaking was, like the sunset that she wasn't in, and then like it was like right after one of her pretty much with like no freaking clothes on at all. He's like, yeah, liking this one. He's like taking the high road or whatever. Like, it just had me dying laughing. He's like, try not to come across as a dirtbag. But that's the thing that ticks me off. Like, these girls complain, oh, guys sexualize us and all this stuff. And, yeah, there's freaking asshole guys out there. There's a lot of really good guys out there. But when you post half-naked stuff on Instagram all the time with your tits out, 24/7. I'm a dude. So, and I'm a dude, and I don't mind seeing that stuff, but after a while, it's like, what the fuck? Like, do you not have any respect for yourself? Like, if I had a girlfriend, well, it would be different, I guess, if I had a girlfriend, but, like, doing that, but I almost feel bad for those people. It's like, I know, even if they are single or whatever, it's like, come on, have more respect for yourself, guys. Like, you're freaking beautiful, and you're posting with your tits out, like, it's freaking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I can just, like, talk about that, like, this for a while, because it just ticks me off. Like, after a while, it's like, that's, you know, if you're following whatever girl, it's like, I've been following you for, like, a month, and that's, like, the 50th pick that's close to a freaking nude. And you're just posting for anyone to see, and let's, even if your account isn't private or whatever, even if it is private, it's still, all those girls probably have thousands of followers, right? And it's like, that's all they do for attention. It's like, I don't know. Like, that's stupid. I just feel like everyone in our generation is just, not everyone, but mostly everyone, it just has no respect for themselves. And it's just so stupid nowadays. And Joy and I talk about that a lot. And I don't know, I'm just over it. I'm just kind of done dealing with that shit. So I'm just on my own path. But I see that stuff and it just makes me laugh, though. But yeah, going back to finish my point, I know we're off the whole mode of talk right now, but my whole point about calling a girl hot, yeah, it can't come off douchey, but you're not saying it to them, like maybe to someone else. But, which, I forgot who I was talking to, but I got yelled at for this before, just from like family and friends. And my sister's friend was like, what the hell are you doing? But I don't know, I feel, then you can get into the whole thing of, I think hot and beautiful can be two totally different things, and or pretty, I think. Or in some circumstances, I think pretty would be a better word than hot. Like, it can mean better, you know. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about now, but. Well, I think Joey's ready to get in here, so. Yeah. I don't know what you guys think about that, but if you ever got yelled at, comment on our episode or whatever. I don't fucking know. But let's get Joey on here. We're going to go to a quick commercial break real quick, and we'll be back in just a little over a minute, guys.
Attention, motocross fanatics. Are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte freeze pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes to keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops taste absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. MotoX Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions.
And we're back. We got Joey Crown back on the phone right now. Thanks, welcome back to the show. We got, I guess, we'll pick off on wherever, whatever you're going to talk about, but about the race we're talking about. A bunch of nonsense a second ago.
Covered the big bikes.
Yeah, whatever you want. I guess we're kind of all over before, but if you wanna, I guess dive into the 450 class and talk about that.
Did you talk about one of the classes already?
We talked about both and talked about girls for a little bit. So,
the important stuff.
Yeah, we talked about Jen and all that good stuff, but I guess
what? Talk about the fight. A
little bit, but if you want to add on to that, yeah, what were your thoughts on that? We're trying to figure out what was happening there.
What was my thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Jet picked the wrong hombre to mess with. That's my thoughts.
They grabbed his helmet. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, he grabbed. There's two different angles, so you got to definitely watch both angles to see both sides of the story. But, he grabbed Jet's helmet, you know, kind of like rock, whatever. And then it was funny watching Jason grab Jet's helmet. Like, you know, he showed Jet who's boss.
Yeah, he yanked him down. He's like, you're like, you're my bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that was interesting to see. That's a poor move on Jet, you know, making the enemy with that guy, because you know how Jason can be.
It gave me flashbacks a little bit, but very different circumstances. I think Jet's in the wrong, unless I see footage that proves me otherwise, or proves him otherwise, or whatever. But it gives me flashbacks to what was it, the barn cross or whatever the hell that was. You had the issue you had a couple years ago. Yours was more of a blindsided thing. You're pulling off and like, what the hell?
Partner brawling, yeah. I didn't even know I did anything wrong. The next thing I know, I get a guy all up in my face and a bunch of hillbillies surrounding me, and this guy's taking sucker punches at me. Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah,
the night before I had mom screaming at me because I hit her husband, and then accidentally ran onto her foot, and then I had her cronies trying to beat me up because I was trying to run over the mom with the baby in her hands, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get out of here, people. So, yeah, you know, I'm like that Bam Bam guy. You know, I cause a lot of trouble. Vince Freezy, a lot of people. I'm being sarcastic, people, if you don't really know.
You're caught off guard. This circumstance, Jet was there first, and Jason pulled up to him. But then, Jet grabbed his helmet.
Jet waved him over. Like, he could have completely...
Yeah.
Like, Anderson didn't seem mad at all, you know? He, like rolled off the track, and then Jet waved him over, and then, like, Jason still didn't seem very mad until Jet grabbed Jason's helmet, and then that fired him up. And then they're screaming at each other, grabbing each other's helmets.
Yeah, it was funny to see how Jet posts something. It was like, oh, I'm immature, and I'll pay Jason's fine. And today he was posting.
Hey, what? He said something today?
Yeah, he posted on his Instagram story of how it was just immature of him and what he did last night, and if they get fined, he'll pay Anderson's fine. And blah, blah, blah. And it's probably still up on the story right now, so you can check it out. But
it's good for him for going up for it.
Yeah, then Anderson made a post, and it was just like a little edit. Started off with him like coming out of the porta john or whatever. Then he labeled it like fight night or something.
That's funny.
But yeah, we're talking about a little bit. I started off with saying the racing was a little bit more interesting. With the mud, it kind of sucks. Not being just a normal round where we see everyone and who's on their A game and whatnot, but it was a little bit better. And then your boy Marchbanks did really good. I made the prediction. I guess no one heard me. I said it myself, but it was after or during the heat race. I'm like, Marchbanks is going to win this. And he was close to getting that win. Close, but he didn't get it, but put in a really strong ride there for second. Really unfortunate, getting together with that Lapra. I really wanted to see how it played out. If he didn't, get held up by Lappers and see if Thrasher would have got him or not, but I don't know. But still, he put in a really strong ride.
Yeah, I was happy to see him win the heat, and he was leading the main. Definitely feel for him getting with that Lapra. That was a pretty crappy deal. But it's a good sign. I think he's building his confidence right now. And, back-to-back podiums, granted it's in the mud, but it doesn't, your confidence, it doesn't matter, if it's wetter or not. So hopefully he can keep that momentum going. And I think this round too, like, it was muddy, but it was raceable. The guys are doing still jumping pretty much everything. Couldn't really blitz the whoops, but a lot more racing than last weekend. So, like, I think this a good performance in these conditions means more than last weekend,
Yeah, for sure. It was cool to see, last year, just with him being off the bike for so long, then he did pretty good in outdoors, on the 450, but I was a little bit surprised when he said he was going 250 for Supercross, but I think it might be a good decision right now. And I guess with how it's playing out, but I think he's third in points. I could be wrong, though. I can pull that up.
Yeah, he's in third. He's third in points.
Is he? Yeah, that's what I could have swore.
Cool.
Yeah, he's third with what the hell's going on? 57, so he's two out of second. So he's only 10 points down. Three up on Hampshire, yeah. But 10 points down going into the fourth round and before the little break they have, which is stupid, but going East Coast so early. But we're talking about a second ago. Are you going to Detroit?
As of now, no. I have another sprint enduro race that I'm going to do.
Big enduro guy now, huh?
Yeah, Woods guy. Well,
when's your headlight coming in?
When's my headlight coming in? Did you say?
Yeah.
Well, it's on order. No, I just
gotta get the white clear tank.
Yeah. No, that first sprint was pretty cool. It was my first time doing a sprint enduro.
Talk a little bit about that. We can get back, on the Supercross in a bit. But yeah, how did that go? I saw you beat Jason Lawrence and did pretty good.
Yeah. Sure, Jason Lawrence up today, but no, it was a lot of fun. And they had so to explain a little bit about it. There's two tests, and one test is a cross test, which is like more moto like a little bit wider. There's a couple jumps and berms, not so tight, not thick in the woods. And then there's the enduro test, which is like all single track trail in the woods. They're both. The one's around 7 minutes, other one's around like 8 minutes. You do each test three times and on Saturday, and then you do three times again on Sunday. And so yesterday I took a couple diggers. I mean, I did today too, but I still was leading my class after yesterday, 25 plus, and then today I rode a lot better, more or less like getting used to the courses, the tests, and I won my class again today, and then but my overall time, yesterday I was like 49th, today I was 39th, so I was happy with the improvement, and yesterday, Jason beat me by a couple spots. Today, I got him. So, cool. And then yesterday I got beat by a couple girls, which is kind of embarrassing to say. there were some factory. Well, there's a lot of factory just dudes there in general, like even in the pro men's classes. But there was factory Husky, Rockstar Husky girl, GC racer. Then there was a Factory Rebel KTM girl. She does works races, or did works races, but she switched into GCC this year. And, they both beat me yesterday, but I beat them both today. So, that was better. And I beat a few of my riders that I trained, so I now got that to hang over their heads. So that's nice. But yeah, it was a good time. For a guy like me, I like racing moto. I do like woods, riding woods too. Like it's perfect mixture of both. Having the one test be more like moto and the other test being enduro. But I definitely want to do more, try to chase some contingency money around. And it was fun to do.
Cool.
I've been talking to some people. I'm planning on like at least trying to do one of the sprint enduros in Michigan this year. Like they got their little series, and the first round's actually right up by my family's cottage in May. So I've got some buddies that are doing those and stuff, and I've been also wanting to try those out for a long time. So I'm really hoping to make it to at least one of them this year, just to try it out and have some fun.
Yeah, you'll like it for sure. I thought it was pretty cool event. There was like close to 200 guys in my class, or not in my class, but like in the afternoon program, all the adults. So yeah, there's a lot of people that came out to this one, which is like a pretty big series. I guess a lot of the cheese to see Factory guys come out and do it. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. I never did. There is some around, you know, around us that I've always wanted to do, but I just never made it out to it. But cool being down here. They're kind of all centralized around this area, so be able to do a few more. Be fun.
It seems pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of the whole hair scramble days you guys had. You know, I made it out to one of them. Both you guys did, and I don't know how much different it is from that stuff, but well, I know that's just one long, really long race, but just that those other disciplines, I guess, was really cool to see because, yeah, my whole life I just been in watching and, you know, riding just motocross, right, and just watching the whole motocross and supercross. So it was cool seeing something different and being around. Just that vibe there seemed pretty cool. So yeah, I've never watched a sprint enduro, but just from, you know, some of the stuff like just GNCC and just that off-road stuff too seemed really cool.
Yeah, it's a fun, it's more of like a crossover, like the hair scrambles that Dean and I did, you know, like it's similar to that in the aspect, like those hair scrambles, they have like a moto section, you know, and then they have a wood section, but you're just continuously doing that for 2-3 hours or whatever. Or like this, it's two separate courses, and then you just do a lap, which is, like I said, around 8 minutes on each course, 3 times over the course of the day. It's a sprint, right? Six total different sprints each day.
Do you like that better than just, do you like having that separate than just having them, you know, I guess where you can actually sprint rather than the whole endurance of the 2 or 3 hour races of the hair scramble?
I think I probably do like it better, especially riding my 450 right now. And I like the fact that you're racing the time. That's what I really like right now. I don't, especially with me for racing, I'm racing with one eye still. So, I'm not having to bang bars or pass people. I mean, I occasionally will pass a guy here or there, but, they usually set, at least I was towards the front of the classes being 25A. So like, I didn't have too many slow guys in front of me, you know, and I wasn't really catching too many people. So I'm just racing against the clock. I don't have to worry about anyone. I can just focus on myself. I like that for where I am right now and being able to do any sort of racing. So I still plan on doing a couple GNCs this year. Trying to do some more racing, maybe some local moto races too, but kind of see where that ends up. But I'm training, been training pretty hard down here, like to do whatever racing this year. So I'm kind of excited for it.
How's your eye coming along? I know it's kind of been a really slow process, but you know, getting a little bit better, you know, over time. But is it? I guess last time we talked, it was a little bit ago, but is it kind of still the same? Same, yeah, as it has been?
It depends. I mean, you asked me, if you were to ask me 5 minutes ago compared to now, yeah, it's gotten better. But you asked me, like, you know, if you asked me 6 weeks ago to now, I can't really tell the difference, you know? So it's like, it's just slow, really, really, really slow. Like, it seems like the further I get from the crash and the surgeries, like this less of progress I'm making, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I have had made a lot of progress since my last surgery, but it's still just like painfully slow progress. But I'm happy I'm still able to see it. And I mean, on New Year's, I was able to hit a ramp with some prism goggles, like, which is just like slight help for my double vision. But, you know, 6 months ago, I totally wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I wouldn't be able to stay in focus. I'll be getting double vision. So doing stuff like that and riding, hitting jumps on my BMX bike is ways, I guess, I've been able to monitor the progress. I'm still a ways off from riding a moto track without covering my eye. But the fact that I'm doing these new things, I guess, now, it's encouraging that it's still a possibility that I'll be able to see. Yep. Ride with both eyes open, I guess.
What the doctor said, it wasn't it like 1 to 2 years or something? Like, it could possibly be 1 to 2 years, and it's, what was it, November of, was it 21?
Yeah, well, yeah, November 21 was my crash, but my last eye surgery was February in 22. Okay. So, which I'm basically coming up, I got a month, like in a month, it'll be 2 years from my last surgery. So technically it should be better by now, but just how bad the crash was and having to have two surgeries to fix it, created some extra scar tissue and damage in there to where it's just not healing that fast. But I'm trying to stay positive and be optimistic that it'll get better eventually. And I mean, I don't plan on making a full return to racing, but I do want to like race. I do enjoy racing. I want to be able to go. I would love to have done the sprint enduro with both eyes and not just one. But do Red Bud here, Red Bud and Ironman every year, whatever. Just like do some racing for fun and enjoy it. And it's still in the blood. It's still addicting. This race has got me fired up on like I'm already planning my workout for tomorrow, like kind of thing, like and how I'm gonna be better for the next round. Which is cool. It's something that I need. It's to get me up in the morning, having goals like that. But I'm just doing it at a different capacity right now, but it's still fine. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, so I guess if we're gonna dive back into Supercross here, I think we covered a lot, but I guess let's go back to the whole Jet thing. Dean and I were talking about a little bit of possibly him showing rookie mistakes and stuff, and how I've talked about it a little bit, and how last summer he didn't really show that many, with that blazing speed as well, which is kind of scary I guess for everyone else. But I guess what are your thoughts on him? Three rounds in, it's kind of, I guess, ordinary right now with it being two mutters. I know we really don't see that two out of the first three rounds, but what's your thoughts on him coming out, I guess, versus where you thought he was going to be and how things, I guess, were going to play out going into the first, West Coast swing in the first few rounds here? So what's your thoughts on him, I guess, coming out and not being the dominant person he was in outdoors?
Yeah, for me, I kind of expected this. Even though I picked him in fantasy, I didn't really fully expect him to win round one, but it's good to see, like, it is harder. Like, Supercross is not like outdoors, and there's a lot more guys that are healthy right now than they were in outdoors when he was racing and winning every single race. But I am really, really interested to see a dry Supercross to see if we see the A1 Jet come back, because he's been kind of beaten down a little bit the past few weekends, being in the mud and struggling a little bit. And it'd be interesting to see how he rebounds and if he's back to dominating fashion or I say another top five guy, like a negative thing, but like, it's amazing for him. But I think a lot of people are expecting him to just dominate. But I'm excited to see the rest of the season for him and, all the other guys. Cool seeing Barsha back on the podium and plus you're winning. That was a lot. My fantasy picks would have been a lot better if I would have did last week's picks this week. Is what I was thinking.
Yours wasn't that great either.
Plus you're late. Pardon?
Your picks weren't that great. Dean was saying how his weren't that good. I didn't check mine yet, but I know they weren't. I had Jet for the win, and I don't think I had AP up there, so I don't see mine doing too good either.
I had AP, AP winning last weekend, and I think Cooper Webb like right around in second or something, like up in there, and I think Rocks ended up crashing, also didn't matter, but I at least would have got AP right in my last year weekend's picks, but I was like, man, he sucked in the mud. He's good in that heat, but so then I was thinking, oh, maybe he's not that great. And then this weekend he wasn't fast in practice, so I was like, you know, I'll pick someone else. I picked Tomac because I thought Tomac was going to come on after last weekend, and then he didn't do very good. So, yeah, a crappy fantasy weekend, but
yeah, it was a weird. Weekend, we're just talking about everyone was off.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, Dean. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, like, well, fantasy's been really rough because, like you were saying, everybody's been so inconsistent, and like in both 250 and 450, it's been like hot and cold. It seems like for everybody, like showing now with Aaron Plessinger leading the points because he's been the most consistent with, because even he hasn't necessarily been super consistent. He's been right around in the top five, but he hasn't been, like, podium every weekend.
Yeah, no, I think – didn't he go, like, 4-5-1 or something? Or
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there, and obviously at the points lead.
And so that's – yeah. It's like, yeah, now it's like, coming into the Triple Crown this weekend, it's, like, really good, like, as far as just, like, well, shoot, nobody's been consistent, so how do you – pick a guy that you think is going to be consistent for three motos, because here we are three races in and everybody's been super inconsistent.
Yeah. Did you hear the news that Prado's back?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Or not back, but I guess racing one more time.
For this weekend. Oh, that's cool. I'm definitely excited for that. Hopefully we get some good weather. And you can see these guys on a dry track, but yeah, to predict this weekend, dude, I have no clue. Cause you pick whoever gets good starts, but no one's been consistently good on their starts. You know, it's Cade Clayson got the whole shot in one of the heat races, and then Tomac got the start in the heat, his heat. Too, and then in the main, he was like 10th or something. And it's all over the place. I'm trying to predict this thing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Some of it too. I think the past 2 weekends is the grates being wet. I don't know if you've seen some videos. Like there's one video of Shimoda about crashing, going over the gate because he slid so far sideways. I think the grates being wet makes it extra hard, you know. Like who no one practices wet grate starts. Like you don't do that. You only do that at mud races, so it's hard to really get a good feel for that. I think that's a little bit of why you're getting more parity on the starts than others.
Yeah, it's weird. Like normally
the normal quote unquote normal season, but
yeah, Jets normally. Nail on the starts, he has them like perfected, but he had a horrible start in heat race, which he made up for really quick somehow. I have no idea how, but sneaking up there in the inside. But then, then the main event
blitz past everyone.
Oh my gosh, yeah, wasn't that crazy? Like the first lap, I saw him dead last on that start straight, and I'm like, oh, thank God here. And then I'm like, what the heck? In that first rhythm section there, and then after the whoops, I'm like, oh my gosh, like. Here we go again, but then he ended up going down. But, yeah, then in the main event, he didn't really get a good start either, so it was kind of, throwing me off. I'm used to him just nailing starts, it seems like the same thing every time almost. But, yeah, I never really thought about that yet too, like just wet grates. And, yeah, I saw the clip of Shimoda. That was pretty bad, just how far he slid over. Pretty crazy, I guess, but, yeah, it was something different, right?
Yeah, whole new start technique really that none of the guys have ever really practiced unless they've done a wet supercross. I mean, they did one the last weekend, but it's still not that much time to figure it out, and different variables this weekend with it rained during the day and then it stopped at night, so but there's high moisture, So you didn't really judge it to be slippery, but it looked like clearly it was still slippery in the heat. Or Shimoda. But yeah, definitely excited for this weekend. So, yep. Anything else you guys want to touch on? Or
I think we touched on or everything I wanted to. Dean, you got anything else?
If you want to talk about it really quick, my brother was just texting me and brought it to my attention that Cooper Webb's first name is Paul,
yeah.
Which then led me down the wormhole to figure out that Adam Cincerello's first name is Michael.
What?
And, like, I just feel like my world's been turned upside down.
I knew the whole Paul thing, but I didn't know Adam's first name wasn't Adam. Where have I been?
Michael Cincerello.
Was it Michael Adam then?
That is interesting. I didn't know. I heard about Paul Webb.
Yeah, I remember hearing that a couple years ago, and it sounded really weird.
Thing at one point, but yeah, Michael Cincerello. It definitely not sound as good.
Don't quote me. That one could be wrong. I just saw that online. No. So
I do remember hearing that. You saying that. Like, I remember that at one point being something.
There's just something to try and remember if we're at like one of the pro races and run by him and then like just to really throw him off and like call him by like, you know,
will he turn
and
around? See
Cooper up, be like, hey, Paul.
Like, yeah, going up to Cowie and be like, hey, Michael, like, do you think he would turn around?
Yeah, right. It'd be some funny.
Yeah, that'd be a test. If you respond to you or not.
One thing I wanted to touch on too, we've talked about it a lot already so far in this episode, but I guess want to get your thoughts on it. I know you're a little bit younger than AP, but I know, you know, he was like a class ahead of you or whatever, or two possibly.
He's a few classes ahead.
Yeah, so like he was racing with like Cody and stuff when he was in Rock River, Cody McCollum.
Yeah.
And those guys were, you know, killing it and stuff, or I guess AP was always up there and doing really good. But we're talking about how he's always seemed like, I don't know him personally at all. So I just mean from the outside looking in, he seemed like always like a normal dude. And now ever since it was the 450s and we talked about it in the group chat a little bit, but he's now some big cowboy and he's really took that and ran with it. Do you really know him personally? Or I just want to touch on that a little bit. Like we were just talking about how that's kind of funny and how Dean's girlfriend was talking about how she doesn't like that, you know, she's from Ohio and Aaron's from Ohio. And she's like, yeah, people aren't like that from here, you know, where I'm from.
Yeah, I don't know Aaron personally. I don't think I've actually ever met Aaron anywhere. But, yeah, he was a few classes ahead. Like when I was, I think at Loretta's, maybe on the 80 class winning, I think he was in B class winning.
Yeah, he what turned pro in 15, so he was B or A or whatever in 14 then probably.
Yeah, something like that. But I do remember Michael beat him at Baja once. You know, that was always his claim to fame.
Really?
But and then him being like the Southern boy, like that's definitely threw me off. Yeah, being from Ohio, but I guess he's in like the southern part of Ohio. It's like almost into Tennessee or Kentucky or something. But yeah, it's interesting. But dude, the crowd loves him. He is a fan favorite, that's for sure. Like it's him leading a heat race, then the last lap, you can hear the crowd going like getting louder. Like him in the main, like there's no one out there right now that could get a louder response, I don't think. Unless if Stewart came out of retirement or something, you know, like, or Carmichael. Yeah, he's got the fan base, that's for sure. And I don't really know anyone who doesn't like him.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We just find it funny. Like, there's, you know, no hate. We both love AP, but we're talking about how it's just kind of, I guess, funny and not really talked about that much. And it seemed like right when he moved up to the 450s or sometime around then, he started becoming this cowboy and he really took it and ran with it. And yeah, he's a fan favorite, and you know he's known for making everyone laugh on the podium, just yelling and you know saying "do it for Dale" or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, his podium interviews are hilarious, but yeah, got me thinking. Like when, was that your brother Dean that brought that up, or is that you in the group chat?
What's that?
of.
Oh, I think it was me.
Was it? Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, made me think back, and like I remember rooting for him when he was moving up the star, or when he was moving up, making his pro debut, and it was a, he wasn't like this at all. He seemed like a really cool guy and really a fit, like a fan favorite, but I don't think he wasn't that popular at all. But obviously, just, you know, moving up out of the amateur ranks, but yeah, didn't have this whole cowboy persona. But I guess the whole thing is just kind of funny. But yeah, he nails it, and it's a good all marketing thing. He's probably making a lot of money from that, and making a lot of fans too.
Yeah, that's for sure. Got the fans on the side.
But I guess we touched on everything. I guess if you guys want to make your picks, top three picks. And I guess, yeah. So I guess I'll start. I have no idea what I'm doing here. So I don't know. Going into the round four, I think the forecast is dry, but who knows? It could change by, you know, when the next weekend rolls around. I feel like RJ is going to get another win here. I'll take RJ. Kitchen, and then RJ Smith and Kitchen for my top three in the 250 class here.
Three picks?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't feel that confident. And you know, normally it seems like every year, maybe not last year, but it's kind of more predictable. But I guess we'll see how that plays out. But I guess I'll kick it over to the Dean here once your picks are in the 250 class.
Oh, I'll probably pick a Jordan Smith for the win, maybe RJ second, and I think Garrett Marchbanks might keep the momentum rolling here, and like Joey was saying, keep his confidence up.
Yeah, I'd love to see that, honestly. It would be cool to see Marchbanks. It's one of the things I hope I'm wrong. I know this is like fantasy, which it seems like I always pick Jet for fantasy, but it would be cool. I would love to see Marchbanks be up there, and he's still right there in the points.
I'll just be something different. I'll do Kitchen first, RJ second, Smith third. Thinking that this week. I think Kitchen, I believe, won a Triple Crown last year. I think that was his first win, I believe. Could be wrong, but if I'm remembering correctly, I think that's what happened. But
it should be some really good racing.
That works.
First Triple Crown of the year. Hopefully it's dry so we can see everyone's, you know,
Kitchen,
what everyone
you're
has.
You're right. Kitchen did win that Triple Crown last year, and he did it without even getting a moto win.
Yeah, I remember that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
I guess Joey, do you want to kick off the 450 and just go backwards to me?
Yeah, it works.
Being last.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you deem to me. Just go a little snake, right. You know, backwards.
Yeah, do the snake. All right, popping out guard here.
Yeah, throwing curveballs out here.
I'm going to pick 10 for the win. Cooper second. Dang, so tough. Ken, Cooper, Chase. That's my top three. I'll lock it in for now, but it might change. But as of now, that's my top three.
I don't know how we stand. I never wrote anything down yet from our previous episodes. I guess we started last week. Or all three of us together started last week. So I guess I'm kind of curious to see where we're at. I don't know. I'll have to go back and find out who we picked last week too. So I'll get these jotted down and figure out where we're at. I know it's a little bit different than fantasy, but I guess Dean, you want to go?
I just copied the points because I'm just thinking of like consistency for it. So I've got Aaron Plessinger to win, Chase second, Chase Sexton in second, and then Jet in third.
Again, I don't want my picks to be right, but I have a feeling that Jet's going to be up there. Really hope I'm wrong right now, but
and he's got to be consistent for three motos, and we're talking about rookie mistakes.
Yeah, I feel like even if he doesn't, I think he's gonna get a win, but like he might be like you know, sneak a second in there, 1-2, or, you know, maybe a 3-2-1 or 3-1-2 or something like that. I feel like he's going to be up there. Maybe not winning all of them, like some people might predict or something, but I don't know who would predict that. But
if he rides like he did at NM1, like there wasn't really any rookie mistakes, like at least in that main anyways. So that's not a bad pick if he rides like that, but you just, after a few rounds, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to get a good start, then just not be too stupid and taper it down a little bit, and then especially with the Triple Crown, he doesn't have to win anything, any main necessarily, or whatever, you know, call them motos or whatever, but unless it comes down to the last one, but I think he'll play it smart. I don't wish anything bad upon anyone. I just don't want him being up there. I don't want it to be a runaway title type thing, but I'll pick him for the win, then go Chase second, then go Ken for third, kind of between Ken and Cooper, but I'll go Ken. Have that RMRV back up on the podium, so I'll take him, but kind of undecided, or no, I'm not 100% confident in that, but I'll go with that for my top three for Anaheim too. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up everything. I know we talked about, we have a Dean segment that we talked about or started last week, but we already, I guess, kind of, I don't know if you have anything else that you wanted to add, but we kind of got into the rabbit hole that you went down this week, and you know, we kind of expanded on that before Joey got on the phone. So if there's anything else you wanted to add.
No, I mean, that's good.
Well, cool. Well,
sounds good.
I'll have to get these picks in and see how we're doing. I'll check my fantasy, but I probably did horrible this week. And, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Going into round four, and then it feels weird with Detroit being so early in the East Coast, but then I guess we're going back west, but. Yeah, should be some good racing. Hopefully it's more entertaining, and really excited to see Prado back for one more round. So anyways, thank you guys for tuning in, and till next time, peace out.